pasuk that talks about Perek Chaf Aleph. Perek Chaf Aleph, pasuk Beis, chapter 21, pasuk 2. Okay, this is the this is a Mishlei, and we're looking at pasuk Beis, and pasuk Beis says, "Kol derech ish." All of the ways of a person are yashar bi'enav, seem to be upright in his own eyes.
Of course.
V'tochein libos Hashem. Tochein libos, but God measures the tochen, the contents of a person's heart. Meaning, we can fool people and we can even fool ourselves, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what our true inner motivations are. This is really the great nisayon that we face. That is, we are capable of convincing ourselves of anything, if it is to our convenience and to our comforts. And therefore, it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu that knows what is truly our motivating factor. Is our motivation in life to ascertain the truth, or is our motivation in life a mechanism of just being able to do what we want to do? So the Gra says on this, Kol derech ish yashar b'einav, musav alamala. It is connected to the thought above, Shebederech she'adam rotzeh leilech b'lichinus. All right, this is a fundamental statement of Chazal, that the way that you choose to go is the way that God will lead you. In other words, sometimes a person says, well, doing mitzvahs has so many obstacles, but really it's the other way around. When you decide you want to go in the way of God, then a lot of the obstacles will go away. The way you want to go is the way that Hashem will make it easy for you to go. V'yamar, Shekol hadrachim yisharim b'enei balav. So that's what it means. Any way you want to go will be straight. Kol derech ish. Any way you decide to go, God will make straight. Ach Hashem hu abochein libos. But Hashem looks at your heart and knows your thoughts. And based on where you want to go, that is the pathway that's going to be smooth. So this is a bit of a different twist than we normally interpret it. The normal translation of the verse is a reference to hypocrisy, meaning to say a person convinces himself that he's doing the right thing, but Hashem knows his heart. That's the normal interpretation. The Gra's interpretation is, whichever way you want to go, Hashem will make straight for you, but Hashem reads your heart to see where it is you really want to go. Kind of a different emphasis. So the emphasis here is not on hypocrisy. The emphasis is that a person decides what they want to do in life. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes things happen. So it's a big mistake when people say, if Hashem, I mean, sometimes Hashem does it, but you can't rely on it. If only Hashem would give me a sign which way I should go, then I would know. Well, yeah, sometimes that happens. You know, the old guy that his last day in Israel, they're full of these stories. He says, if I only have a sign, Hashem, and somebody invites him for Shabbos, whatever it is. But usually it's the opposite. Usually the way it works is the person makes the decision, and then the signs come. The signs don't come to people who are small in faith. When you have the faith, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open the doors for you. But there's a certain step you have to take first, and that's b'derech she'adam rotzeh leilech. The way you want to go, so Hashem will take you on
that. For that.
You jump into the water first, yeah. Right. You know what they say, I once heard from a tour guide an interesting thought. You know, the Gemara says that making shiduchim is as difficult as the Red Sea.
Yeah.
So why is it compared to the Red Sea? So some say, because just like Nachshon ben Aminadav had to jump into the water up to his neck, and only in the zechus of his faith did the waters then open, so too, a person has to take chances in shidduchim. You can't wait until everything is 100% obvious. You jump into the water, and you have to have a certain amount of emunah. The other interpretation the tour guide said, I guess he was talking to a single tour guide, a single people, was that, you know, Chazal say that each of the tribes had their own path. There were 12 different concentric half circles. They actually came out on the same side. Now the question is, that means that the inner circles, or half circles, had a much shorter distance to traverse than the outer circles. Doesn't seem fair. The answer is, that's shidduchim. Some people get it quick, some people take longer. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give everybody that which they need, and one shouldn't complain. One belongs to the tribe of the outer circle, takes a bit longer.
So if we are explaining this way, then, like, Yechzak Hashem Lev Paro, same thing, not just for the good, but for the bad as well.
Yeah.
That God helps people to go to the wrong direction if they decide, just like Pharaoh.
Yeah, and at some point they lose free will, but it comes because of the choices that they make. They make choices that take away their free will.
Right, but God is helping them actually. That was the
Because of their decision. Because of their decision. Of course, helping isn't the same as taking away free will. That's a bigger extremity of it.
Right.
But helping means that, you know, if a person wants to do evil, Hashem may cause that evil to prosper and be successful and give the illusion that this is a good thing, because that's what the person wanted to. That's what the person wants to do.
A difficult problem if you start to analyze it.
Well, no, because
Hashem
gives you what you want. Hashem gives you what you want. Hashem facilitates what it is you want to accomplish. So this is an important yesod. B'derech she'adam rotzeh leilech, the way you want to go. This is what they say. There's a statement in Chazal: Ein dover omeid lifnei haratzon. Nothing stands in front of will, which seems to say your will to do something conquers everything. So the Ger Rebbe says, what does that mean? There are plenty of things I want to do that I can't do. Right? So he says like this: when it says there is nothing that stops will, he interprets it this way: there is nothing that stops you from wanting. It's interesting. It doesn't mean whatever you want to do, you'll do. But even when you can't do it, there's no reason not to want to do good. And then, indeed, you find that will can sometimes melt down walls. But the Iker statement of the Chazal, Ein Dover Omeid B'fnei HaRatzon, means there is nothing that should stop you from wanting to do good, even if you won't be able to do the good there. In fact, that's what the Chasam Sofer says, a beautiful pshat. When Yaakov encounters Esav after many years, so Yaakov sends Esav a message and says, Im Lavan Garti, with Lavan I lived. And Rashi says Garti has the same letters as Taryag, 613. And he's telling Esav, Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, I kept the 613 commandments, and therefore, you know, don't attack me because I have spiritual merits. So people ask Akasha on this. L'chaira, Yaakov certainly did not keep 613 mitzvahs. Among other things, he married two sisters. And the Torah says even when polygamy is permitted, you're not allowed to marry two sisters. And the answer is it was before the Torah was given, so he wasn't bound. And then the Ramban explains as well that even though the Avos kept the whole Torah on a voluntary basis that they understood with Ruach HaKodesh, but nevertheless, that's only when they were in the land of Israel, because of its holiness. When they were not in the land of Israel, they did not keep the whole Torah. So what does Yaakov mean by stating when he was in Lavan's house, he was Shomer, the whole Torah? So the Chasam Sofer says a beautiful explanation that Shamarti does not mean I observed, I kept. Rather, he quotes another pasuk. When Yosef has his dreams of the heaven, the sun and the moon bowing down, so it says he told his father his dreams. The Aviv Shamares Hadavar. His father kept those dreams. Rashi explains, Shamar means Yosef u'metzapeh, that in Yaakov's heart, he was eagerly yearning, when will those dreams be fulfilled? So you see, in other words, the word Shamar over there means hoping and yearning. So the Chasam Sofer says very beautifully, the statement of Yaakov to Esav, Taryag mitzvos shamarti, does not mean I actually kept the 613 mitzvahs. But what it means is, every single moment I was in an environment where I couldn't keep those mitzvahs, I was hoping and yearning, Yoshevu mitzapeh, when would I return to the land of Israel so I would be able to. So Yaakov was not able to keep mitzvahs, at least many mitzvahs, but nevertheless Yaakov yearned to keep them. And in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's book, that was considered to be the same as keeping them. What do Chazal say? If a person wants to do a mitzvah but is not able to do so for circumstances beyond his control, he gets the reward as if he did the mitzvah. A good machshava, a good thought, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats as if it is a good deed. Vice versa, a bad thought, Hashem does not treat as a bad deed. fact, I think the Levush says, or he even applies this to Halacha. Strange, he uses it in a very strange way. You know, what if you're davening Shemona Esrei, and it's time to say Kedusha? So what do? So you have to be silent, and the Chazan says Kedusha, and you're silent. Now, why is being silent helpful? Because we say Shomeya Ka'one, listening as if you said it. So the question is, if listening is as if you said it, then you're being mafsik, as if you're talking in the middle of the Amida. How could that be good? So the Levush says, it's a strange word. The Levush says that Hashem counts good thoughts as if they're good deeds, but he does not count bad thoughts as if they're bad deeds. Therefore, the concept is, my thinking to answer Kedusha as a mitzvah counts as a mitzvah, but it doesn't count as a hefsik, because a hefsik is a prohibition, and therefore the thought to do something negative does not count as a negative. The problem there is that it's all one thing, really. In other words, if it's, you can't really separate it out, but he actually separates it out in that way. But this is the important yisayit, that when a person decides that they want to do the right thing, all of a sudden doors will be visible to them, opportunities will be apparent that they did not imagine would be present before they made that decision. And that's an amazing thing. There's a beautiful quote from Goethe, I don't have it in front of me, non-Jew, Goethe, who actually says it very, very eloquently. He says, the notion of making the choice and then the doors are open. God does not open the doors until you show that you're willing to make that choice. So that's the idea. So this is a chiddush a little bit. In other words, the Vilna Gaon's take on this pasuk is a little different than the normal interpretation of this verse. Okay. We then come to pasuk Gimel. Aso tzedakah u'mishpat. Aso is an infinitive. That means the doing of, well, again, these are always, the simple words are always very hard to define exactly. Tzedakah can mean righteousness. It can mean justice.
Can be as well.
Huh?
Can be a tzivui. Aso,
do.
No, but look at the... I understand that, but that's... See, you're making... You would then be making it a separate clause. What it's saying is, doing tzedakah and mishpat nifchar l'Hashem is preferable to God than bringing a korban. In other words, the sentence is... In other words, the subject of the sentence is aso tzedakah u'mishpat is nifchar l'Hashem mizabach. If you would read it as a tzivoy, there would have been a vav there. It's a do tzedakah and mishpat, and it will be nifchar.
Well, possible sometimes to skip it.
Everything's possible. I mean, the simple meaning of the verse is that it's an infinitive, and what it's telling you is the doing of charity is preferable to God than bringing a korban. But as I say, the word tzedakah is not an easy word to translate. Tzedakah can mean charity. Tzedakah can mean righteousness. Tzedakah is sometimes used in the same way as tzedek, which is justice. Of course, one can also say justice and charity are actually the same, because we believe that the right of the poor to get charity is not because I'm giving charity, but it's an entitlement that the person has. If Hashem gives me resources, it is to share them with others. In fact, there's a difference. In fact, it's been pointed out that the origin of charity, this is a Latin word, comes from caritas, which is connected to compassion. But the charity, tzedakah, is the same word as justice, which means the attitude towards tzedakah is not a matter of my being a nice guy, but it's a matter of an obligation and an entitlement that aniyim have. But then, of course, mishpat is normally justice. Is nifchar l'Hashem, is more chosen by God than zavach, than a slaughtered offering.
So tzedakah is considered as an entitlement?
Well, tzedakah is at least an obligation.
It's
not a matter of you being nice.
I understand.
It's not a matter of
where
you feeling... Huh? Where does what?
Why is it entitlement here?
Which word is entitlement? I didn't say any word means entitlement. I'm saying that tzedakah is not a matter of personal conscience and feeling. It's an obligation. That means, in other words, that when the ani comes to you, he is coming to you not as a supplicant for your mercy. He is coming to you as someone who has an entitlement to get charity. I mean, that's the correlation. If I have an obligation, then someone has an entitlement.
The receiving party has
an entitlement. Yeah.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean a specific person, because you can give your tzedakah to anyone you want, but aniyim, or charitable causes as a whole, have a claim on our money. They are partners in our money. They are partners in our fortune. Instead of looking at my fortune as my own, my fortune is partially owned by my obligations of tzedakah. They are co-owners, in effect. Now, again, there are limits how much tzedakah you give. There are halakhic limits of a tenth, a fifth, etc. Chazal normally say you should not give, well, a person should give at least a tenth, that's for sure. And if a person is able, a person should give up to 20%. The simple meaning of Chazal is you are discouraged from giving more than 20%. On the other hand, you know, very rich people can give more and more. Bill Gates is allowed to give more than 20% and the like. Of course, the Baal HaTanya is an interesting psak. The Baal HaTanya says like this. He says, he has a rule that almost renders this a nullity. He says, if a person gives charity because of tshuva, they want to repent for their sins, there's no share. You can give 100%. Because he says, just as if your life was in danger, you would certainly spend all of your money to save your life. So too, when a person needs to do tshuva because of their averos, their neshama is in danger, and therefore, for pikuach nefesh, they could give 100% away for tzedakah. Now, the Emma says, I mean, that in a sense obliterates the limit, because almost everybody has a need of tshuva in that sense. But he says giving money for tshuva is not subject to chomish. So let's see what the Gra says on this.
By committing suicide, ani chashuv kemeit.
That's right. Well, that's like he's right. Yeah. Now, the idea that Hashem looks at our tzedakah and mishpat more important than a korban, we see a parallel pasuk in Shmuel. Hine shamoa mizevach tov. If you remember when Shaul was commanded to eradicate Amalek, and Shaul spared the sheep, and he also spared the king. But Shmuel initially encountered him with the sheep, and he said, why do I hear the sheep bleeding? So what was Shaul's excuse? Shaul's excuse, well, I saved all the sheep to bring as a korban to God. So Shmuel told him, Shamoa, listening to God, is more important. Mizevach, hinei Shamoa, mizevach, tov. Velechas bedrachav, uchsiv. And we know that, what does it say by Avram Avinu? It says, ki yadativ, I know Avram, which Rashi translates means, I love Avraham. Why? Because he commands his children, v'shamru asderech Hashem, that they follow the ways of Hashem, lasai tzedakah u'mishpat. Therefore, tzedakah u'mishpat, righteousness and justice, or charity and justice, nifchar l'Hashem mizavach, is better to Hashem than a korban. See, this is an interesting point. You know, the Reform movement sometimes calls itself by the name prophetic Judaism. Why prophetic Judaism? Because they don't like Pentateuchal Judaism. They don't like the Judaism of the five books of Moses, because that has a lot of mitzvahs and stuff, and that they don't want to do. But they look at the prophets, and the prophetic books often seem to de-emphasize, at least if you read it selectively, de-emphasize the need of ritual. So, for example, you look at the Yeshayo and says, why do I need your korbanos? Why do I need your divine services? What do I want? I want compassion. I want justice. I want to take care of the poor. Right? That's the Haftarah of Yom Kippur. Does Hashem, what type of fast does Hashem want? Does he want a fast where you bend over and beat your breasts? He wants a fast in which you take care of the needy and clothe the naked, etc. Right? And therefore, their argument is that you see from the prophets, this is their position, that a higher level of morality where God is not concerned with minutiae, but God is concerned with justice and compassion and interpersonal relationships, and that's the basis of the emphasis there on social justice and activism, which, by the way, is a very, very fine emphasis. And, you know, there would be nothing wrong if more Orthodox shuls would be involved in many of those issues as well. I mean, Chas v'Shalom, I'm not taking that away. But here is the thing. First of all, the idea that the prophets were somehow de-emphasizing the ritual of mitzvos in man and God is not true at all. You can find in the Nevi'im about Shabbos. There are many, many declarations about the importance of keeping Shabbos and the like. And in Yeshayo, there are many condemnations of those who stuff themselves with the non-kosher food, the Yachbor, I read in last week's Haftorah. The very end of Yeshayo talks about how despicable it is to contaminate your souls with non-kosher meat. So the emphasis is the following. The only thing you see that the prophets de-emphasize, and they do de-emphasize, and they're critical of only one ritual only, and that's korbanos. You never find them critical. In other words, you never find the prophet saying, who needs your Shabbos? Who needs your kashrus? You don't find that. You do find statements, who needs your korbanos? And that's very significant. And the reason is because there was a fundamental misunderstanding of what a korban was. In the ancient world, in the pagan world of Greece and Rome and prior to that, a korban was a bribe to a deity in which you paid him off and then you got a license to do whatever you wanted to do. We're so used to the fact that in every religion today, I mean, even in Islam, although they pervert it, religion is linked to morality. We think it's an inevitable thing that religion requires moral obligations. That was absolutely not true in the ancient world. In other words, the gods in Greece did not really care what you did. They didn't care one way or the other. They did it themselves, right? They had their same dysfunctions as any other human being. And therefore, the notion of a sacrifice to a god was simply a bribe. Now, with Judaism, it's exactly the opposite. Hashem doesn't eat meat. Hashem does not need sacrifices. But as the Ramban explains, a sacrifice is a symbol that transforms the worshiper. In other words, when I see an animal that's dying, I'm supposed to think that really, because of my sins, this should be happening to me. And by doing this to the animal, and by the animal being a surrogate for me, I become humble and submissive, and I become transformed into a different person. Meaning the following. Shabbos has a value even if you're dishonest in business. Meaning to say the following, even if I live a sinful life, Shabbos and kashrus are still values. Meaning just because I do one sin doesn't mean I should do another sin. But a korban, which does not transform you into a better person, is not only a worthless activity, it is a sinful activity. Because if you bring korbanos to God and it does not affect you in terms of your underlying character, you are essentially using the korban as a bribe. And that is insulting. That's a denigration of the Almighty. That's basically telling God, I can buy you off. So it's very profound that you never find the Navi looking at an immoral people and saying, who needs your Shabbos? Because the truth is, Shabbos is good. I might be a thief, but if I steal 6 days and I rest on Shabbos, my Shabbos at least is still a mitzvah. But to be a thief and a murderer, and to be oppressive to the poor, and then bring a korban, the korban is a sin. And that's why in Mishlei as well, there's a pasuk that says, Zevach Rishayim Tayeva, the korban of the Rasha is an abomination. It doesn't say the Shabbos of the Rasha, or the Kashrus of the Rasha, but the korban of the Rasha is. So if it is true that the Nevi'im are critical of ritual that is not accompanied by moral transformation, it is primarily the rituals that are associated with korbanos. Because the whole idea of a korban is to change your moral stance. Yeah.
What about fasting? They go on about, they sometimes accuse about fasting as well.
Well, you're correct. But it's really, it's the same thing. Because once again, fasting was seen in the ancient world as a, in fact, we even have some liturgical reminders of that. You know, you're kind of giving a sacrifice of your blood and your fat to God. But once again, the fasting is supposed to make you humble mm-hmm. and contrite and lead to repentance. If it doesn't lead to repentance, it becomes an empty gesture in that way. So that's why you always find Hashem saying, obedience is better than korban, because the whole purpose of korban is to promote obedience. If there's no obedience, who needs your korban? Well, you're buying me off. I need the meat. Hashem doesn't care about meat, you know. So that's the same idea that you see over here.
Here
yeah.
We see tzedakah u'mishpat.
Yeah.
And then on the other side we see the zebra.
Yeah.
But we're excluding a lot of other things. Why just tzedakah u'mishpat? What about kindness and other things?
Yeah. This is that's true. And of course you'd have to define the terms much more. Apparently, tzedakah u'mishpat really kind of includes everything. the Vilna Gaon paraphrased its stucco mishpat as Laleches Bidrachav, to follow in the ways of Hashem, to emulate Hashem's characteristics.
So tzedakah is a very inclusive.
That's right. So it's not, it doesn't just refer to writing checks. That's correct. It refers to a whole way of life. It's combined with justice, with compassion, with righteousness, and the like. And then he quotes another pasuk, the Yod Kamosha Kasuf. It says in Yirmiyahu, this is a famous pasuk, it says, Al Yishalel Chacham B'Chachmaso, right? It says a wise person should not be proud of his wisdom. A gibor, a strong person, should not be proud of his strength, etc. A wealthy person should not be proud of his wealth. But the only thing that one should feel is significant is haskel v'yadoa osi, the way the Rambam interprets it is first intellectual contemplation. When you truly are successful in knowing God, but then it ends, aso sadaka umishpat. And you know God, not in your brain, but you know God by doing tzedakah and mishpat, ki bi'eileh chafatzti, Hashem says. That is what I desire. I desire asos tzedakah umishpat. Uchsiv, and yet another pasuk, however, says, chesed chafatzti, I want chesed, v'lo zevach, and not a korban, v'das elakim, and knowledge of God, me'olos, instead of the burnt offering. So it turns out that we have different phrases that are used, because here what it says Hashem wants is tzedakah and mishpah. In Yirmiyahu, it says tzedakah u'mishpat, but it also adds haskel, to intellectually understand me. And in Hosea, it says the word chesed. So we actually have four different things that are described as superior to the korban. We have chesed, haskel, tzedakah, umishpat. Right? Four things, if you look at all the different verses. V'yamar kan gamal tzedakah umishpat, nifkar mizevach. V'yamar elu ashlosha. Where does he get three? I see four here. Nifchar mizevach. Well, let's see. Hoinyan ki shlosha minei zevachein. The word zevach means a korban, right? But there are three types of korbanos. Neder, nedava, and toda. Well, let's take neder and nedava. It's going to be a little difficult. But neder and nedava. A neder is when a person makes a vow to bring an offering. A person says, Hare Olah, for whatever reason, it's incumbent upon me, I make a vow, I'm going to bring an Olah. That's called a neder. Nedava is when you actually, you don't make a vow, but you designate a specific animal. You say, Hare Zu Olah. The Gemara says there's a halachic, or the Mishnah says there's a halachic difference, and that is, what if the animal that you designate dies before you bring it? If you made a vow to bring an Olah, then even if your designated animal dies, you got to bring a replacement because you didn't fulfill your vow. If, on the other hand, all you said is, this is an Ola, if this dies, you're not chayav to replace it because the risk of loss is on the base of Mikdash, essentially, because you only designated a single animal. So that's neder offering, nedava. Now, the third one, I don't get this either, because the third one is called a thanksgiving offering. But a thanksgiving offering actually is a free will offering. The Torah does not say you must bring a thanksgiving offering. But if you want to bring a thanksgiving offering, you then sanctify the animal. I'm not sure why this would be a third category. In halacha, we classify the korban todas. See, let me just mention, there are obligatory offerings, like a sin offering. A sin offering is neither an eder nor a nedava. A sin offering is an obligation on you. But in halacha, a korban todah is classified as a free will offering. But he might mean that it's a quasi-obligation, because unlike a pure neder or nedava, in which I have the absolute discretion not to bring, a person is supposed to. It's not an obligation in a sense, but a person is encouraged and supposed to bring a korban toda, so we might call it a quasi achiv. So let's see what the comparison is. Uchenegdam, to parallel these three types of korbanos, neged neder, we say mishpat, neged tzedakah, we say nedava, neged chesed, we say toda, and das elokim is neged olz. Okay, this is a deceptively deep comment that probably needs a lot of unpacking. But he says the following. There are actually four things that are better than korbanos. He winds up with four. I don't know why he says three, because he does enumerate four at the end. I don't know why he started off with three. And he says the following. He says, justice, which is mishpat, corresponds to the korban that you bring as a vow. Because when a person makes a vow, right, they become obligated as a matter of justice to fulfill it. But living a life of justice is preferred by God to the justice of just fulfilling a vow. Tzedakah, which is charity, that's the pure nedava. That's when I simply, in other words, without any vow, I just bring an offering. That's pure charity. Nevertheless, God wants real charity, preferable to the charity of just bringing korbanos. Chesed, loving kindness, that parallels the korban toda, which a person brings to express his gratitude to Hashem for his kindness. So Hashem really says, I prefer that you express your gratitude for kindness, for my kindness, by showing kindness to others instead of bringing a korban toda. And then the fourth, which is das Elokim, knowing God in an intellectual sense, that corresponds to the korban ola. Now here, I'm assuming he means the following. The Gemara actually says in Menachos that although when you commit a sin with action, you bring a sin offering, a chatas, but the ola offering is a kapara for sins of the mind. Now, as I said before, a sin of the mind is not the same as a sin of action, and therefore it's not an obligation to bring an ola, but an ola does give atonement for perverse thoughts. So actually, it makes a lot of sense to say God would prefer that your mind be filled with the noble thoughts than having perverse thoughts for which you have to bring a korban ola. Right? So that's how this breaks down. And therefore, there are four things that are better than there are four things that are better than these four types of korbanos. Justice is better than the neder. Tzedakah is better than the nedava. Chesed is better than the toda. Das Elokim is better than the ola. So by summarizing all those psukim, that's how he makes the correlation.
Okay, can we say here that the actual behavior towards mankind is more important than the mental process?
Yeah, there's no question that is true. On the other hand, the Rambam in particular develops the idea that it is not enough to behave virtuously, but ultimately, virtuous behavior should transform our attitudes and our feelings and our emotions. Now, some have taken the position that the only thing God cares about is how you behave. So, although it's very hard to have behavior that's inconsistent with your emotional state, but in theory, let's assume I'm a person who hates people. I really hate people. But I have a very, very strong super ego, so to speak, and I can behave virtuously, and they don't even know I hate him. I can have compassion, I can do tzedakah. So the question is, am I as perfect a person as God wants me to be? Now again, that's almost an impossible hypothetical, because people who don't have any feeling towards others will normally not be able to act in such a great way. But some authorities say, as long as you behave in a good way, then God might be indifferent regarding your feelings and your emotions. The Rambam strenuously disagrees with that. The Rambam basically says that although doing mitzvahs is a beautiful thing even without feeling, but the ultimate goal is to transform character. In other words, it's an interesting point. If we would ask ourselves, why does God want us to have good character? So some would give the answer, because if you have good character, it's more likely you will do good deeds. The Rambam would not answer that. The Rambam would say, God wants you to have good character because that is how you achieve perfection. Instead of saying, have good character so you'll do good deeds, the Rambam actually writes, do good deeds because it will develop a good character. In other words, the good character is actually more important, according to the Rambam, because that is the perfection of the soul. Which means, in other words, Judaism is not about merely behavior. It is about transformation of character.
Maybe a good behavior is associated with what is called here coming from the heart. And that sacrifice and what have you comes from a mental process.
Yep.
And what comes from the heart is probably more important than what comes from here.
No, I understand. But the question is that... the good behavior, I understand, but you're conceding that yourself, that good behavior is not the end-all of the spiritual process. The spiritual process should ultimately be to internalize character traits and be a certain type of person. Not merely behave a certain way, but to be a certain type of person. That's the internalization of it.
And, isn't that what the essence of creation, that we were made in the image of God?
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not we're good or bad is really the doing of God, not our doing.
Well, you know, that's the old question, which we go back to God and say, hey, God, you made the Yetzer Hara. No, it's not my fault.
How does a guy get three things or four things when there's only three things in the process?
Yeah, that's this pasuk. See, he's combining a few pasukim together. Our pasuk says tzedakah u'mishpat, right? That's two things. Now, then it says in Yirmiyahu, ki im bezos haskel v'yadoa osi aso tzedakah u'mishpat ki b'eila chafatzti. He's learning b'eila chafatzti is referring both on aso tzedakah u'mishpat and haskel v'yadoa, which he counts as one. Now, that pasuk is a little difficult, though, because that actually does not draw a comparison to Karbanos. On the other hand, the pasuk in Hosea explicitly says, Chesed chafatzti v'lo zevach. So it's certainly legitimate to say that Hashem is comparing Chesed as superior to Korban. So there you get three for sure. You get Chesed, Tzedakah u'Mishpat, but he's also bringing in the Haskel v'Yadua, see, because that's compared to Tzedakah u'Mishpat.
Could it be that the word aso here is not connected with but it's its own noun. And what he means is aso, which the Gaon translates like shemoa.
Right.
So doing mitzvot, tzedakah, and mishpah.
Yep.
Those are either nifar lachem zava, preferable.
Yeah.
Or maybe if he means four things and not three, despite what he says, then nifar lachem is, he translates it as das elokim.
Right.
Maybe it's four things, but he uses Nivkar Lashem.
Oh, as the fourth thing.
Well, as a verb meaning it's preferable to Hashem than Zevach. It's as though the sentence said, all these things are better than Zevach, which are
right.
Tzedakah, Mishpah,
and Nifchen.
And knowing, and mastering.
So, in other words, the sentence does not have a verb, which is possible. In other words, one, two, three, four, mizevach. It's an understood verb.
Or you use one word.
The one word could be a double, a noun and a verb.
I'm not sure, but there's no way to get, you know, the normal translation would not yield either three or four. He says it's three. But he enumerates four, so it's confusing.
Yeah, well, why he goes from three to four, I don't know, because he comes up with four.
To me it seems that those three are actually one. Rather than your obligations of sacrificing to God, you're doing three good things towards your other main guy. This is the true meaning of knowing God.
Right.
This is what God wants, and that's why maybe he says three and one, because all your obligations toward me.
That is knowing God.
Yeah,
that is knowing God.
Mm-hmm.
No, that makes sense. The only thing is he does switch, because he does say in the end the four things, even though so the aso, you're saying, if you say aso is a separate thing, that would correspond with, I don't know which one it would correspond with.
As though it was a noun, its own noun. not asur stakam mitzvah, but doing mitzvahs, which is asiya.
Yeah, okay.
Like shmira.
Maybe asur stakam, not just doing, not just believing, but really doing.
But yeah, but you're making an element that's not one of his lists. I mean, the four that he enumerates is tzedakah, mishpat, chesed, and das elokim. Now maybe nifkar lashem is das elokim. So the aso, the only thing that's left over is aso would have to be chesed. If aso, in other words, it's not referring to doing mitzvahs generally, because that's not one of his lists. You'd have to read it into Chesed somehow. No, I just okay. All right. I think what he's doing is I think he's not purporting to say it's all in this verse. I think he's just saying you look at all the verses together and you compile a list based on.
Is there really different with Chesed and Tzedakah?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean. You know. Well. First of all, it's hard to know until you translate tzedakah. It's hard to know. He doesn't clearly translate tzedakah. I mean, he doesn't tell us. But if tzedakah refers to charity, it would refer to primarily financial benefit. And chesed is with your body and with your time. That's what the Mishnah Gemara says. Gemilas chesed is greater than tzedakah. Tzedakah is b'mamono. Gemilas chesed is b'gufo. That's a greater thing.
He says
yeah.
That's nakah, hyphen,
the davah. The davah
means charity.
Well, he's using the davah in the technical sense of the donation of a korban. That's what he's saying. But it is like an act of charity. You're giving a charity to the temple. So Hashem is basically saying, give it to the poor, not to me. In fact, there's a beautiful Yerushalmi, I have to end here, but there's a beautiful passage in the Yerushalmi that says, it's just fascinating, two Amorim are walking in Tveria. And one is pointing to a magnificent shul and says, this was the shul my grandfather built. This was the house my grandfather built. So the other person said, and these are all pointing to all the poor people, starving people, and these are all the poor people your grandfather killed. The concept was that people donate all the money to magnificent buildings. And, human beings are suffering. So Hashem is also saying, don't use your money for all the karbanos. For tzedakah, give your tzedakah to the poor and to the needy. Okay.
Haskel was mentioned also.
Yeah, but Haskel the Adoa OC is counted as one. That means the intelligent knowledge of God.
That's over.
So that's treated as one. That's over. Yeah.
Haskel is understand, right?
Right. So Haskel the Adoa is one thing. Yeah, is one thing. Yeah. Yeah.